Yes, yes. Once again, we are live here with the Reentry Connect podcast, Through Rain to Rainbows, here with Miss Sherry. Miss Sherry, we're so happy to have you here on the podcast. We know you have a powerful story that's about to be spoken about right now. And we know that we all go through things in life, but that's what we're here for, to share our experiences, you know, to let people know that if we did it, they could do it as well. Before we get started, I just want to shout out Old Dad One Day at a Time, Mr. Mel Wells out of the city of Philadelphia, 215-226-7860. Yes, if you're looking for that resource for reentry, if you're looking for the resources for recovering addicts and all the types of resources, feel free to reach out to them. Another shout out to GPSTransportation.net, 215-774-9913. And yes, they are the best five-star transportation company in the tri-state, throughout the whole country, matter of fact. Looking for a good place to for them to transport you, nice vehicles. Feel free to reach out to them. All right, but without further ado, we got to get back to the show. Here with Miss Sherry. We're so happy to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. Miss Sherry, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us who you are and where you're from.
Hi, well, I'm Sherry. My last name is Kale, and I'm 29 years old. I am from Perry County, Pennsylvania, and thank you for having me.
Yes, yes, indeed, Miss Sherry. And Miss Sherry, we know that a lot of with the just in general with this Reentry Connect podcast, we know that, you know, again, we've been through things in life. But if you could just share, like, how was your upbringing, Miss Sherry? You know, before we get into like depths of different things that happened in your life, how was your childhood? How was your upbringing? Was it nice? Was it fun? How was it?
So my childhood was a little bit of a mix. I could say like I always had what I needed. Always had a roof over my head. I was always clothed. I had an education. You know, food. But there was also some dysfunction in my family and in my household. So, I kind of had, it's a little confusing because I had a little bit of both, you know, a little bit of bad with the good, but.
Gotcha. Cool. So during that time in your life, at what point in your life did you find yourself going down the wrong trajectory?
I think that I started really going down the wrong path when I was about 13.
And what type of things took place?
I started using drugs. I started, you know, not going to school. I got kicked out of school. You know, started getting in trouble, started getting put in placements. Rehabs, you know, got expelled, went to an alternative school, got expelled from there, didn't go back to school, you know, partying, drug use, bad relationships, and the list goes on and on.
Wow. Powerful. So by chance, and I know you can relate to a lot of the young women that's probably even listening now. Those things, what drove you to turn to that lifestyle? You know, what type of things do you regret, or what type of things that happened in your life that allowed you to start turning to such a way of living?
Honestly, it could be a couple different things, a lot of different things. In my mind, what I think of is I was molested as a child at a young age. So that changed some things for me and the way I viewed and the way I felt about some things. And like the dysfunction in my family and in my household as a child. My dad was abusive to my mom and still is an alcoholic. So that was something that probably changed the way I did things in my life, maybe a little bit. And just the people that I hung around, I guess, like the kids that I hung around when I was younger, you know, and the group of people I was with.
Wow. So a lot of the influences that were around you, the peer pressures and a lot of these things made you, you know, turn to such a way. So eventually in your life, in the point of your life, time went on, you know, and I know that, you know, things probably happened throughout that time, but it came a time when you did get incarcerated. So what did that look like? And like, why do you think something like that would happen?
So like I said, I was in and out of, placements as a child a few times, nothing too serious. Well, 6 months at longest, but multiple times in a rehab stay as a, as an adolescent. But then, you know, 18 years old and past that, okay, county prison came along. And I was in and out of county prison on and off all the time. A year here, 3 months here, 6 months there. I could just never keep it together. You know, I'd get back out, go back to the street, use drugs, get in trouble, commit crimes, go back to the same old thing, same old things. Because that's, I guess, even though it was uncomfortable and I didn't truly really like it, and that wasn't really what I wanted, that's what I knew, you know?
Wow. So at what point did that learning curve come where you said, hey, I want to change my life? Did that occur while you were incarcerated? Did it run through your mind about, you know, you having a family out here you had to, you know, take care of? How did that transpire?
So I don't think it really ever clicked. Like I thought I wanted, you know, to change, or I wanted to be different, or, you know, try things differently. And move forward in my life at different times. But really this last time when I was incarcerated, I went upstate for the first time and ended up doing I did 18 months, almost 2 years. So, and I went into, you know, it was a completely different setting, you know, completely different setting. Things were different. And I was in an intensive program. It's a TC, a therapeutic community program, or, you know, behavioral and drug program. So, I mean, they kind of run a tight ship. I'm not going to lie, a little bit. They do run a little bit of a tight ship. And just some of the things that they said while I was there, like, you know, I went through a lot. I went through a lot and sat down for a little bit longer and just thought about a lot of things that had happened in my life. I had a lot of feelings and a lot of emotions during this time I was away. And just the things that they were saying in this program, you know, I remember they said, because we had like three women that were like running our programs, right? And the one day, and they would talk to us sometimes, not very well, you know, they would swear, they would yell, you know, make us sit there, kind of look stupid, feel stupid, and tell us things, you know, nobody wants to hear, like, okay, you know what? You're going to go back out. You might as well go pick up the phone today, and you might as well call whoever's out there putting money on your books, writing you letters, telling you they love you, making phone calls too. And you better tell them, your kids, your mom, your grandmother, whoever's out there, you know, hey, I don't give a shit about you. And when I come home, I'm going to do the exact same thing, because I don't care how you feel. I don't really love you, and I don't care about myself, and I might as well stay here.
Wow.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh. And it made a lot of feelings. Like, I had to sit down and do a lot of things that I didn't want to do. Deal with a lot of feelings that I didn't want to feel from my childhood, from growing up, whatever, you know. And it makes you think. It makes you think a lot and see things from a different perspective.
So throughout that time span, did you worry about your family, or they were like, you know, were they there for you, or did you not have family at all?
No, actually I am very blessed in that aspect, because I do have a good support system. I have a good family, you know, everybody has their faults, you know, each person is their own, and nobody's perfect. But I have a loving mother, loving father, loving grandmother, sister, and a brother-in-law, nephews, children, you know, and the list goes on. I have supportive friends, you know, that are sober, don't live that type of lifestyle, you know, church friends, so on and so forth. And they were all supportive of me, you know, writing letters, calls, if they, you know, I talk to my family regularly, you know, yeah. And they helped me out. They were there for me.
Gotcha. So do you believe, like, since your last time that you were incarcerated, that was your last and final time, you're ready to definitely make your life a good path and a good path for your family, your kids, and so on?
You know what? I would love to say that I would never go back to prison. I hope everything in me that I never go back to prison. I never have to go back to prison ever, you know. Mm-hmm. But I will not say that nothing will ever happen that I may have to go back to prison for, because I can't control every situation. Can I control myself? Yes. But there's things sometimes that just happen. I know it's unusual, but I don't want to say never. And, okay. You know, but I am going to do everything that I can and within my power and my control of myself, mm-hmm. and my life to not ever have to go back to prison again. And never have to disappoint myself and my family and my children to have to go back to prison and leave them again, you know?
Gotcha. And then we appreciate your honesty. I know a lot of viewers that are viewing and listening appreciate that honesty, because oftentimes people will say, oh, I'm never going back. And the next thing you know, they land up in there. But one thing I want to encourage you with as well is to always speak life over any situation you're in or any situation that you know or may think that's going to come about, you know, because you're better than being behind bars. You're better than, you know, sitting in a jail cell. You're better than, you know, leaving your family behind you, you know, and things like that. So always think about that. Even if, like I say, even if a situation does arises before you that you may be like, oh my God, speak life like it's not going to happen again because I learned my lesson. You know what I mean? Because oftentimes we forget that we do have family, you know, that loves us, care for us. You know what I mean? We have to be grateful for that, because some people don't have family. Some people don't have people that they could turn to or lean on, you know, as a crutch, you know what I'm saying, to help them get to point A to point B. You know what I mean? Some people out here on the streets figuring out where their next meal is going to come from, you know, whether it be at a homeless shelter or a food bank or, you know, a one night stay somewhere, you know, just till the next day, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of things that we really have to be grateful for. And I'm quite sure you are too, knowing the person that you are, you know, from the time when we met, you know, doing the group and the Rising Scholars and things like that, which is a great experience. It's just, you know, one of those things where that's really appreciative of you being really open like that. So if you could give some encouraging words or inspiration to individuals that are listening from a jail cell or a halfway house, transitional house, recovery house, you know, suffering or going through that addiction, what would you say to help them with a brighter future recovering from that addiction?
Honestly, okay, I have a couple things that I'm thinking right now. Mm-hmm. No matter where you've been, what you've done, you can change your future. Your past doesn't have to be your tomorrow, and you can overcome it. If you decide within yourself and make a choice for yourself and the people that love you and are around you to overcome your battles, all the things that you went through, anything you're dealing with emotionally from the past, what has happened to you, you can overcome it. And it's not you. It doesn't have to define you. You can move forward in your life and do better and be better for yourself and others around you. There's tons of programs out there. There's Pro A that will help you with rides to and from work for the first 2 weeks. It will help you get a job, help you make a resume, Office of OVR that will help you with tons of different things, funding for schooling, all types of things. She's somebody's daughter in Lemoyne. If you've been a sex trafficking victim, there are so many different things in the world that you can get into that will help you, that people care. Just find them, find the people, go. If if maybe going to meetings are your thing, like having a sponsor, anything, find sober friends, find sober people, find a church group, find anything and reach out. There's people to help. People do care. If you don't have anybody, like family or close friends or anything like that, there's somebody out there that will care, that will help you. You just have to find them, and you just have to put in the work sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much, Ms. Sherry. Really do appreciate, everything you've shared. I'm quite sure that your story is definitely going to touch individuals, because a lot of people do battle through different things, And again, this platform is to reach people from different perspectives. You know what I mean? Because something you may have been through can probably help somebody across the world that's listening to this right now. It can help somebody that's down in Kensington. So again, you brought some resources, you shared your story, because that's how we overcome. We overcome by that testimony. That's one of the ways, and by us sharing that, again, it's not to keep it for ourselves, but it's for others, to hear that example so they won't fall into that ditch, But Ms. Sherry, we appreciate having you. And it's definitely a wonderful show. You did a very great job. And I'm quite sure when people are going to feed back, I'll definitely let you know. I know you don't mention deal with the social media, but if people wanted to contact you, what is your email address?
My email address is slkahl@proton.me.
Okay. Yes, and she does live in the United States, y'all. She's not in Alaska anywhere. I never heard of an email address like that, but she says something new, something very secure, which is very great. But yeah, but hopefully it's an individual that's probably bad on addiction or something like that that may want to reach out to her and figure out, how did she overcome, and then the step-by-step process of how to get over that. That really means a lot. But Ms. Sherry, without further ado, thank you so much for tuning in and coming and being a guest here with the podcast, the Reentry Connect podcast. I'm your host, Keenan Hudson. Through rain to rainbows. She said it just fine. Through rain to rainbows with Ms. Sherry Kyle. We appreciate having you. But until next time, we'll see you later, Ms. Sherry. Thank you.
Thank you so much.